All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. I think it's about time we pivoted to another business.
Ooh, yeah. I was thinking this was getting a little tired.
It's incredibly tired. Like 10 years is too much for anything.
Exactly.
So I was thinking, you and I both like tabletop games.
Yeah.
You know? And you ever think about like a D6? How boring it is?
It's pretty boring. I'm thinking there could be some other six-sided device that is not mm-hmm. not just a little box.
Yeah, like you can do six sides of anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a cube. It could be some kind of rhombus.
Mm-hmm.
I have invented this new dice, this little cube here that instead of rolling it to see what side pops up, it is fully sentient. And it just gives you a number.
Mm.
And then I've taken those numbers and I have made them correspond to games.
Okay.
So you can roll it if you like. It feels like a massage for him.
So he doesn't, but, it doesn't mind it, is what you're saying.
No, it actually kind of likes it. You can see here, it's got one of those retractable dog boners.
Okay.
And if you roll it, it comes out. So that's how I can tell that it likes it.
Okay, yeah. Well, does that affect the result? I mean, no. Okay. Mm.
No, because the rolling is just for pleasure.
Gotcha.
It just says a number for us.
Right.
So why don't you do the honor?
Okay.
Here.
Can I
put one condom over every finger because he does have an erection right now.
Yeah. I don't want to end up getting a bunch of little D4s running around.
Here, put a condom on each finger and then put a bugle.
Mm.
These are bugle tipped condoms, so put a bugle chip on the tip of each finger as well, and then roll these dice.
Okay. And we're going to give this a roll.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Your voice is much deeper than I expected it to be.
Oh, yeah. thank you. I'm going to say number. Oh, man. Can you roll me again?
No.
One more time. I'll give you a number.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
With a regular dice, I would have, I really would have needed to roll once. It wouldn't be begging me to roll it again.
Well, you said you were GGG. I just figured that you'd be down to provide our little buddy here.
No.
Like it doesn't.
No. I was good.
You can't reuse condoms when you roll dice. Unfortunately, you'd have to get new ones.
Yeah.
Because you sprayed under your fingernails.
I can't. Yeah,
reservoir bugles.
I'm not gonna stand here and pretend that I'm not, you know, jacking off an intelligent cube. Okay.
Sure.
Oh wait. Okay.
Oh wait.
Game computer. Yeah. That's a video game.
Oh. Hey, little cube. Here, I'm gonna put you in this rock tumbler.
Oh my god.
And scene. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering, the podcast that covers every item, trinket, character, boss, and everything in the Darkest Dungeon series of video games. My name is Gary Buttercum, and with me as always is the man whose butt who truly won't quit, Cole Ross.
I wish it would. I can't sleep. It never quits.
Like, with this party all the time, buddy.
This week we're talking about IQ, Intelligent Cube. This is a Cole. This is my pick, Gary.
Oh. Yeah. I had no idea. This is a good game.
This is a really good game.
Were we doing a backdoor walk?
Kind of?
Like, from inside the house? How dare you?
Well, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But also, I figured, like, I don't know, this has something called a forbidden cube in it.
There's a vantage cube and forbidden cube, yeah. Which is where I kind of figured we'd camp.
Yeah.
You know? Like that, that's something that like the greatest of all drunk uncles explains to you after a funeral. Like, there's something called, listen, kid, in this world, there are advantage cubes and forbidden cubes.
Yeah. I first got exposed to this, you know, I was like 10 years old or something like that. Got the PlayStation. This was on a demo disc. And that's actually, so this was put into the suggestion box by James, who says, I don't actually think this is a bad game, but it's a weird one for sure. I specifically remember it showing up on a PlayStation demo disc from back in the day. I don't think I ever really understood it as a kid, but I do remember watching my brother play it, and I can still recall the perfect voice sample. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like a little bit freaked out by this. Especially some of the death animations and stuff. There's a real eeriness to the proceedings going on that it like is a very good just kind of like patina over everything. In addition to this, like just like real satisfying, just like actually good puzzle game that's here.
Well, they're little touches because there's no reason for you to control a person in this,
right?
Instead of a cursor.
Yeah, there's no reason for this to just be like a big platform in the middle of a pure black void.
I think there's, you know, because that's the mechanics, right? Yeah. Like it needs to have blocks floating in space or it would work.
Right, but it didn't have to be a pure black void, you know?
No, you could put, I mean, I understand that you're angling for like a picture of hentai back there that gets revealed as you remove the blocks.
I mean, couldn't hurt.
It couldn't hurt. Couldn't help. That does add to the atmosphere, but it also feels utilitarian.
Yes.
The big atmosphere things to me are the music and the fact that you're a guy.
Yes.
And you did not need to be a guy.
No.
For this.
But you're a tiny little guy running around on kind of this, like, is it like five or six lane wide?
Four.
Four wide, just kind of a grid of blocks hanging in this black void, and you're marking kind of the squares on this. You're marking these blocks as other blocks kind of like roll down at different speeds and, you know, depending on the difficulty that you're on. And you have to like basically detonate that block in order to get rid of it. And there are forbidden blocks which need to fall harmlessly off the back. Or else it'll make the back row behind you fall down, making your runway shorter. And there are advantage cubes that will, when detonated, will set down like a bigger field of marked blocks for you.
Yeah, 3x3.
Yeah.
So it's like an order of operations puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like you conceptualize the space.
Yeah.
As they're moving towards you, and what it will be like after you fuck around with it.
Yeah.
I played this as a kid as well, and then played it more because this was included on the PS1.
On the PS1 mini, right?
Or the PS Classic or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And it's a great addition for that because that thing got slammed a lot, but it's really cool to have this on there. Mm-hmm. Fun ass game.
Yeah. It's great. And it, you know, like it gets disturbing because you're this little guy. You can be crushed or you can get waterfalled over the back and then just fall forever. because you're in this limbo.
Yep. Screaming forever. This is an interesting kind of the person who made this was made. This was made by a professor of game design who created it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And was bigger in Japan than in America, where it got a sequel.
You got because it became a series over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious about.
Me too. Like, you know, you don't, it's not translated obviously, but like, I would like to see what the new, what the new, mechanics are. So like, I'd, you know, just check out like the PS2 version of it or whatever. Apparently there are ones that came to, like PSP, but they're really bad.
IQ-mania.
But the developer is somebody named Masahiko Sato.
Pretty neat. Reminds me a lot of on the show when we did Nobody Can Stop Mr. Domino. And without the Mr. Domino personality and the kind of vague threat of the title of that game,
try as you might.
Motherfuckers think they can stop, like it's a Dr. Dre album, like think they can stop Mr. Domino. They don't know shit. Shoot him in the fucking head. It's a little bit like that.
I need to. I saw this on Twitter. Just the idea, the idea of cubes. Did you see like the new startup that is trying to solve? What's up?
I said just the idea of cubes.
Just the idea
of what you saw on Twitter.
I saw on Twitter. No, Because it's crazy, Gary. You think it's got four sides? No, six.
Oh, no, we pissed off Shape Twitter.
Oh, man, in the beginning when you said, like, some kind of six-sided rhombus or whatever.
Yeah, like, oh, man, I get yelled at for that.
Some guy in penny farthing is going to roll up to the front door and kick my fucking teeth in.
like, kind of low-key sus. Fucking rhombuses.
Oh, man. I am actually, yeah. I'm just kind of disappointed that you're following, rhombuses. That's weird.
Yeah.
And just, if you could not follow that, please.
You were telling me about, you've been seeing cubes in general on Twitter.
I've been seeing so many cubes.
No. What are you talking about? Like, what on earth could that possibly be leading to? Please enlighten the rest of the class.
No. Here's the thing. I forgot what it was called. Have you seen on Twitter people talking about Squareet?
No.
Okay. This is going to be just basically us complaining about Soylent, but I need to show you what Squareet is. Okay.
Okay.
Fire this up and take a look at take a look at some close ups of the products.
Okay. This is the chicken that is amazingly meal like or whatever.
He's amazingly meal like.
I can't remember the quote. It's something like that though. I'm watching the video with this MMA guy who's gonna beat the shit out of me explaining this cube food.
Just gonna start fucking pummeling you.
This guy's gonna step on my neck if I don't eat his food cubes.
It's a gourmet innovative 50 gram square that provides all the nutrients without any of the additives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazingly meat like. You just microwave all four of your cubes.
Yeah.
I'm watching the video. I need to see if they like distend after you open them or if they stay remain a cube. Or they remain a cube.
Yeah.
It's a stiff little cube. It looks like a bar of soap.
It does. Yeah.
That no. He's gonna eat.
I'm just like right here. So I'm looking at this and like one of the glory shots that they have on here. So these are it's like a picture slice a cube in half. Okay. So it's like it's like a 2x2x1 cube.
Like a coaster.
It's like a coaster.
One bun of a slider.
Yeah, but there's like here's the chicken one with grill marks on it. Here's the veggie one. And I think, okay, like convenience food, but one of the like glory shots on this is them popping a couple of these onto a griddle. Like,
yeah,
fuck, you're trying to get me to eat a cube. And also after I commit the indignity of eating a cube, I've got to clean a griddle. What the fuck are you talking about?
I like that the top of this has different navigation things. Boxes and squares are both separate. Navigation things.
Boxes and squares.
Asparagus square, chicken square, choco pancake square, beef square. I'm gonna read all these, but I could. V burger square, peanut square.
Yeah.
The sea bass square.
Quinoa square.
But the basmati rice square. Like rice is not good for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking at quinoa. Yeah, notoriously hard to cook. Quinoa.
Yeah. The thing you put in water and ignore.
Yeah.
This is pretty gross. I saw like a gif of somebody cutting into the chicken square. I didn't know what it was for.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't pursue.
Right.
$6.50 for the American meal box. Prime cut beef, green vegetable mix, high quality carbs, mustard sauce, herbs.
It's a generation of people who grew up and like just had had reruns of the Jetsons and saw the food pills and thought that should be emulated. That's not a thing that's fucking terrifying. Horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we talked about this with Soylent, but like the thing is you really when you switch into a food mode like that, you're cutting yourself off from so much culture.
Mm-hmm.
And like such, I think like a very fundamental part of the eating or the human experience.
Yeah.
You know, like sharing a meal with somebody and appreciating its deliciousness mm-hmm. is, you know, a real cultural human activity.
Yeah.
That it seems ridiculous to just be like, I'm opting out.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I just don't want to do that.
There's nothing like practical about this. Like, oh, I get a couple of cubes and my dinner for the day, or my lunch at work is a cube, because I don't want to leave my, yeah, desk, because I'm contracted. It's my cube, right?
To be a cube. I eat cubes to be a cube.
Yeah. There's nothing inherent that says like, I got a box of square eats, now I can't have any kind of food now. But like, a lot of the rhetoric around them and the marketing is that like, this is going to revolutionize human nutrition.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And they're never like dropping off, you know, drone striking cubes into impoverished countries or anything. Right. It's just for tech guys to spend money on mm-hmm. different food.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, that was always the argument for Soylent. It's like, oh, we made this nutritionally complete thing, like this will be really good for world hunger. Mm-hmm. Then give it to people.
Yeah. that would be good, right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Got to make money.
Also, you know, something about getting all of these. I used to be a real like, I need to eat everything one at a time on the plate. Like nothing on the plate can touch. Like when I, yeah, I'm talking like,
oh.
Yeah, like, you know,
you're a military man,
like, you know, kid into a teenager, right? If I could love those picnic plates that had the demarcations on them. Now, yeah. As I've gotten better about food and just kind of like less neurotic about it in general, the, you know, composing a bite is a real important part of this too. I don't see how you can compose a bite if you're if all you got on your plate here is some cubes.
Well, you cut them into smaller cubes, and then, you know, it's basically like new Tetris. Like you would take 1/4 of all of these cubes to make a new fifth cube that you would then eat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all as like one big bite.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have no interest in this kind of cube food.
Yeah, you can get
it's fascinating.
The plant based box that is that has the tag post workout.
Yeah, I like the one. The fisherman's box here, which is just eating a bunch of fish in cube form. this is real ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, the meat ones are made of meat.
Yes. You know?
It's kind of hard to tell.
That's what I think. It doesn't say like, oh, this is, it doesn't say vegan on it, or it doesn't say,
well, veggie. Some of them do, but some of them don't, which makes me, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I was wondering if there's like lab grown meat or something.
No,
what's happening to these chickens?
well, it's like those bonsai, it's
bonsai chickens.
It's bonsai kitties. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that we could own a stake at Square Eat, by investing at wefunder.com right now, live?
I don't
as think, we're recording this.
I don't know that I want to bet on this, you know. No. I'm not gonna bet on the success of Square Eat. I think we're doing a little bit of like buzz marketing for them. They recognize that you know, hey, this looks ridiculous. People are gonna share it, but also I think this is miserable. Yeah, the ingredients on the chicken breast is chicken breast, salt, black pepper, lemon, and rosemary.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what the advantage is of eating it in a cube if it's just food.
All I can picture is the power sauce bar. You know,
yeah.
Or you
yeah.
know the spaghetti bar. You know, just 5 pounds of spaghetti compacted into this.
Yep.
Hello, hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I would put the chicken cube on between two pieces of bread.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be fine with like just a chicken slider.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know? I'd like to have some sauce. What do they have by way of sauce recommendations?
Sauce cubes. Like basically everything comes in those jelly rectangles from diners.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or no, it's like a pod. It's a Tide pod.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, now I'm back in. I wish these were actual cubes instead of just flat rectangles.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like an AirPods case is what like it looks like.
Yeah. It'd be very cool if it actually came in a cube, like in Prey. you know, somebody in Prey fried up one of those organic cubes and took a bite, right?
Oh, yeah. And they had to be rushed to the hospital.
Yeah. For prions and
shit. I mean, it's just like taking a big bite of some graphite, you know, like all just carbon, please.
You know, the one that was somebody's foot. I wonder if that just tastes like condensed foot.
I don't know.
You know? like running me through the power sauce bar thing. Like you can take like 5 pounds of spaghetti, but what if you took 240 pounds of Gary and compressed them into a bar?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the peanut square. I need to stop like looking around at these. This is,
yeah, it is compelling. Like they are appealing as objects. If they weren't food, yeah, it might be kind of nice just to have one.
Uh-huh.
You know? Huh. Well, huh. Yeah, these are what I like to call unintelligent cubes.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, they don't do anything. You just cook them and then they sit there and then you eat them, yeah, is the thing. Yeah.
They gain intelligence in your belly.
Yes. Well, you know, as they mingle with the microbiome, you know?
Yeah. as they network.
Yeah. You know,
that's really what's happening when you're mixing food.
Yeah. Just having a little party in your belly. Yeah.
I really like on the Game Facts page for Intelligent Cube, the games you may also like, which is like Zoop, Gubble, Block Kids, and Tall Infinity. Like, God, it just sounds like I'm getting activated by a phrase. Like, I did not know there was a PlayStation game called Gubble or Tall Infinity. Yeah. Taking control of Gubble, a lovable alien. Uh-huh. I'm going to have to fast track Gubble onto this list. At some point,
yeah.
Do you want to know more about Gubble?
I'm very compelled by the existence of a Gubble. It's a lovable alien. He looks
like the Qualcomm Goblin or something, like an old cell phone mascot.
I'm also very curious about Tall Infinity.
Tall Infinity is also, because that is a really weird contradiction. That's like a French thought experiment. Ooh. Like, is something that's infinite tall?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Infinity defies context, and something can only be tall compared to something else.
Came out on iOS.
Let's continue this conversation at 3 a.m. in a Denny's.
Yeah, over a quick game of Gubble.
Yeah, I will take the French toast slam, please. Yeah,
it sounded like you said the Grinch toast.
that was a short promotional event.
Yeah, like along with the Hobbit omelet and like some Grinch toast. God, I love a big slice of Grinch toast.
Just a hob omelet.
Power sugar.
Yeah, and then Zoop. I got brain infected by Zoop. Like, all I want to do.
We all know about Zoop.
I just want to go back. I always want to make jokes about Zoop. Because I got a copy of Zoop because like the ads made it look fun. It's not a fun game.
No,
but the ads some of the wild. it just pales in comparison. Cannot fill Gubbles' shoes. Yeah,
shouldn't try.
No. What I do love is the 560 page FAQ by Psyonix.
Oh, of Intelligent Cube.
Yeah. Because this person.
Gives 200,000 KB.
Yeah.
Or 20,000 KB.
Uh-huh. Look at the scroll bar on that, Gary. FAQ/puzzle solutions. Yeah. Done in 2006. Yeah. But it is
all in prose.
No, it's not all in prose. It's showing like the, I don't know. Just like instructions, it's giving you grid coordinates for when the stuff is going to come down, which is like, okay, it's weird that the patterns are like pre-baked. That's strange. I would imagine that the more efficient way to do this would be to build in a randomizer. But then somebody went in and said,
"I think
there's
an endless mode."
Yeah,
that has such a thing.
Yeah, and somebody just went in and said, well, "Here you go. Here's everything that happens."
This guy is an avid FAQ writer, an avid writer in general. Video game guide writer, comprehensive guides to many works. He has a predilection for somewhat obscure titles on the Sony PlayStation. Please view my entire body of work at. I was thinking that this was going to be... Thank you for your patronage. If you want some general advice, don't smoke, eat decently, and exercise once in a while. You'll be glad you did when you're 80 and still loving life and still gaming.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Psyonix? 80?
Yeah. I thought this would be prose because it's 20,000 K.
Yeah. No, I did a print screen on it. It literally like 560 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. I
should print this out to the Library of Congress. Weirdos division.
We got a catalog of all the weirdos.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, he did a guide for Legend of the Gabos.
He did.
Yeah. Good for you, buddy.
I want to see what the format on this bad boy is. Back in the month, winter 2004.
Here's a svelte novel about the Gabos.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to do a command P on this bad boy. Oh, it's only 30 pages, so that's good.
Oh, okay. That's still pretty big.
It's pretty dense. It's weird
the Intelligent Cube is the biggest one.
Yeah.
Roll Away, Abe's Odyssey, also really big. Forgotten Realms, Demon Stone, almost as big.
Yeah.
Not even nearly as big.
Yeah. I said up. Order of Magnitude is, yeah.
That kind of messed me up. Yeah, what a weirdo.
Yeah. Did one for one? Yeah.
Yeah, one. All those weird, that weird era of PS1 games. Mm-hmm. They were advertised more than they were played.
the board for this is fun because there's one person who is putting the entire system on trial. Gaming_Esquire. So he's a juris doctor. It's just many.
Well, he's very upset.
He's extremely upset. Over the course of like 7-8 years, just occasionally he just pops in and just like rails at everybody. Why don't you like this game? Why am I the only one who likes this game?
What's wrong with you people? Why are you not posting your high scores?
Yeah.
So he's saying that he's complaining about it. Dragon Keeper 82, this poor 30-year-old person, is like, I pray that this game and Dino Crisis both get revived, especially this one. It was one of my favorite PS1 games. And Gaming Esquire 1 year ago, 2020, mm-hmm. he's like, hey, you're here. Well, blow me over. Thank you. This is a great game. You know, and just like, why are you, this is the answer to all of your prayers.
Uh-huh.
Creator of the Xenogears Sound and Drama Project.
Ooh.
Which is dubbing over Xenogears.
It's
amateur cast. No,
it would make more sense if it was just some guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, it's him and all his friends.
Uh oh, no.
Don't do an audio play of Xenogears.
What do you want to bet that this guy is Ray?
Yeah, I don't. All the money.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
Or I forget the name of the main character of Xenogears. I think Ray's Breath
Who
of Fire.
Who cares? Like, why do people keep talking about that fucking video game? Oh, man. If you click on Gaming Esquire as well, he's got a real nice banner and icon mix.
Ooh.
This person is definitely this person. In every possible way.
Oh no. So, yeah, no, that is that is definitely some anime that I have seen next to Nazi shit on Twitter. Fascist. Yeah.
Having an anime avatar, pretty fascist adjacent. We all know this.
Yes.
Having an anime avatar and policing how much people like Intelligent Cube, 100% fascist pipeline. Intelligent Cube to fascism pipeline is like a straight line.
Yeah, this is the guy that opened fire in Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
this guy was recently politely asked to stop by cops.
Good God.
Yeah.
But Gaming Esquire only owns four games: Shadow of the Colossus, yeah. Tiger Woods 2012, Skyrim, and Lightning Returns. They want to own Lost Odyssey, but I'm going to call some bullshit here. Hey, Gaming Esquire, why don't you own fucking Intelligent Cube?
Or also, honestly, why don't you own Lost Odyssey? It's a pretty achievable dream you got going on there.
Like, yeah, I'd sold many copies for $4.99 used at GameStop.
I don't think that was a hard game to get a hold of.
10 years ago. Yeah, no. Wow. I was still working there 10 years ago. Shit.
Yeah.
I also love on the board our good friend here in 64 Danny. So they are they're already pretty sus when they're talking about PlayStation, but this is 2 years ago. They have a topic here. This message board proves Intelligent Cube is anything but a quote classic. No offense to anyone that likes this game. Sorry, Gaming Esquire, but this was far from an intelligent choice to put on the PlayStation Classic, and literally insults the intelligence of the original PS1 fan base. Where is Spyro or Crash? Where are the games we know and love?
Yeah.
Which is adjacent to one of my favorite, one of my favorite jokes about On Cinema, which is like when a movie doesn't have Tom Cruise in it, just like, why don't they have actors that people like Tom Cruise? Yeah. Like,
I really don't understand why Tim Burton would do something without Johnny Depp or vice versa. You know, they really should have got Johnny Depp to, or Tim Burton to direct this, you know, should have gone all the way. Yeah, very, very similar.
Yeah.
This is also 10 times as good a game as Crash.
Yeah.
You're going to play it for less time, mm-hmm. but you never have to run towards the camera into pits you can't see.
Spend a lot of time running toward the camera in this, but there's never any danger there. Like, you can't just run off on your own. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Significantly better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Cube.
Thanks,
Trouble Cube.
I don't know. The main character, Faye Wong, there we go. Main character is Xenogears. That was going to kill me.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, have fun streaming that someday. As we never do it for the show.
Fucking no. That is not one of the games that I have a soft spot for. Missed it entirely. By the time I got it, it was like they did a greatest hits re-release of it, and I was just kind of underwhelmed by it. I had moved on from JRPGs by that point.
Yeah, I do not understand Xenogears likers.
Xeno anything to me.
Yeah, it's a bad prefix.
Yeah.
You know, Xenomorph?
A plus. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Xenomorph Chronicles?
Mm.
You know? It's a kind of a gray area. If people like the show, what should they do, Cole?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. At only $5 mm-hmm. a month, you get 2 extra episodes of this show per month. At $10, you get access to more than 120 bonus episodes, all of them at once. Mm-hmm. It is too much. And also, you get episodes a week early. It's a real smorgasbord.
Almost to the Suikoden number.
Mm-hmm.
In so many of those things.
I mean, more than the Suikoden number. It's 108 on those. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I kept thinking it was 128, but that's
bits.
Memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bits. You can also tell your friends. That's very appreciated. Mm-hmm. Ratings, reviews. That's also very appreciated. And until next time, what should they do, Cole?
Don't you goddamn dare touch that forbidden cube.